And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, Alabama. Y'all, I'm talking about this show goes like, whew, way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. All right, well, you know the deal. This is one of those recurring segments because I'm just telling you, it was so ingrained in me when I was down in Montgomery. I thought that when I got down there, I understood the impact of our state capitol on our lives. I had no idea. I mean, it's everything from whether or not you can have Sunday alcohol sales to what your speed limit's going to be on your roads, and oh, by the way, how much gas is going to cost at the pump. It's like, you know, everything from what happens in your schools and how many teachers you're going to have to whether or not, you know, there's going to be mental health counseling for kids. I mean, it's just all this stuff comes out of Montgomery and all this stuff comes out of your local governments. And basically, there are things happening in and around and amongst us that you can't overlook. And we get so caught up sometimes in, hey, what did Trump say? Or, hey, what's happening, you know, up in D.C. and all this stuff. But the reality is, sometimes we got to do what I call cooking up a batch of home fries. Oh, yeah. Sizzle them. Just cook them on up. All right. So home fries, I gotta lead off with this one. The story of the week, right? Space camp. Whoo. That ain't going away anytime soon. Now, we are told, by the way, that the guy, according to State Senator Sam Gavan, the guy in question is on leave of absence at this point. I'm sure there's pending an investigation and or they're just trying to let things cool down. But if he was going to put that much heinous stuff on his social media, you got to know he's going to get called out. And it's amazing to me the amount of what's the word I'm looking for? I mean, the overused word is backlash. Backlash! There's backlash. There's anger for daring to point it out. Well, how about this? It's on his public social media. The things he says, the things he wants to be able to do, the symbology of what he believes he stands for. You know, when you put up a rainbow flag with a Baphomet satanic emblem embedded over the top of it, and then you put on your space trainer outfit that you're going to wear when you go to work with kids at space camp, and you've got it emblazoned with your rainbow flag, and you call yourself proud to be a butch-coated, genderqueer space trainer, I'm pretty sure somebody's allowed to have questions. Now, if he liked to, you know, if he was a LARPing or doing some role play on his own and, you know, and no one knew about it, what can we say? If he was not trying to pretend that he was a woman and walk into the little girls' changing rooms, what would we say? But he did. Now, the other day, you may recall that we had the whole show dedicated to that one topic. Well, my longtime friend, who's still serving in the legislature, Representative Mac Butler from Rainbow City, he announced he's going to be adding space camp to a bill that he already has currently underway. So in 2022... our legislature passed a bill, and it was, you know, of course it was. Of course the press called it the Don't Say Gay bill. You know, they started that in Florida, and it just, don't say gay. It doesn't say that in the bill anywhere. No one's telling you. I mean, we can disagree with the lifestyle, but no one's telling you you can't be gay. What we're saying is, do not try to pretend that you're a woman if you're a man or vice versa and walk into the changing rooms of little children and not expect to be called out on it. You know exactly what's happening. Well, Mac Butler, that bill we passed in 2022 that says that it prohibits the discussion of sexual orientation and gender identity in K-5 classrooms. I think that was a gimme. I think they were having trouble passing it, and so they chose to whittle it down to K-5. Well, you guess what? Nobody died, and apparently it's working. So Mac Butler is back this year to amend the bill, and truthfully, 60% of what we pass every year in the state legislature is an amendment of existing law. So he's bringing his bill right now to extend it through K-12, all right? Not just K-5, K-12. So K-12, it would be no sexual orientation, gender identity discussions in classrooms and space camp. Why? How's that fit? Does it fit? Well, when you consider the fact that Space Camp receives over $1 million a year in education budget dollars from Montgomery, along with lodging taxes from local governments, when you consider it's run by a state-run commission, they can make legislation that deals with it. I've had folks ask me, is that not a federal facility? Nope, it's not. It's not owned by NASA. No, there might be exhibits that are on loan from NASA, but the museum itself is run by the state. Of course, critics are out there saying you can't do that. So, story here on AL.com, taking issue with the fact that how dare Mac Butler have it. Here's the headline. You ready for this? Headline, Dateline, yesterday afternoon. Alabama lawmaker wants Space Camp added to Don't Say Gay bill due to transgender counselor. It doesn't say don't say gay. It says don't teach gender orientation and gender identity and all that kind of stuff in classrooms. Butler came out with some statements. He said, many of us believe it's an inappropriate discussion for any grade. And those issues should be discussed between children and their parents or with families and their clergy, but not in a classroom. Classrooms are for learning reading, writing, and arithmetic, not for indoctrinating children with beliefs that run counter to fundamental values. And he said this, he said, we're taught to love one another, and we definitely want everyone working, but we must be careful in the selection of those who supervise and instruct our students. Yes, that's true. Now, of course, the organizer of the Alabama Trans Rights Action Coalition, of course she took issue with it. I assume it's a she, I don't know. Somebody who goes by the name of Triss Emily Wilson, Emmy Wilson, which is probably a dude because it's using a girl's name for a trans organization. What do you think? I'm going to say it's probably a dude.
Probably.
Anyway, responds to that by saying, Butler implied that referencing the mere existence of queer and transgender people runs counter to fundamental values. It does not. Actually, he did not say that. Nowhere in his statement did he say that. He said, we're not going to be indoctrinating children. He didn't say you can't acknowledge the existence. Anyway, all that to say, coming up pretty soon, there's going to be an outcry of don't say gay. And I'll have to remind everybody, we passed that law in 2022. And guess what? Nobody died. It just makes sense. All right. While we're talking about lawmakers, story here on Alabama Daily News. You remember me talking a while back, State Representative John Rogers, Democrat from Jefferson County. Birmingham, actually. State Rep John Rogers has served in the legislature since 1982. How long would that be? 1982. A long time. So he's been in the legislature for, what, 30 years? 32? And he's currently the longest-serving member of the Alabama House of Representatives. Well, he was indicted for conspiracy and obstruction of justice and taking kickbacks. Yeah. He's been like flagrantly, dismissive of the whole thing. I ain't got nothing on me. You can't, nothing's gonna be on me. I don't care. You can talk to me all you want to. I got nothing to hide. Nothing to hide. Man is 83 years old. He just pled guilty. So State Rep John Rogers is resigning from office effective, I believe, this week. He's going to have to pay $197,000 in restitution. And he's going to be, they're recommending 14 months of home confinement, and I think that's probably because of his age. Nonviolent crime, but he's 83 years old. 14 months of home confinement. Home confinement. I guess he'll be watching a lot of game shows in the morning or something. I don't know. But anyway, if you remember, there was two other people. There was former state representative Fred Plump and an assistant to Rogers who was also his former girlfriend named Vari Kendall, who's like, I want to say like 30 years younger than him or more. They have both previously pleaded guilty. So now what you have is a situation where there was a local grant that they all had access to, to direct funds to little league teams and to Boy Scout troops and to, school projects. And it's very common to see these local grant opportunities that legislators can help. And sometimes it gets to the point that it's like a slush fund. It's stupid. It drove me crazy. It was my least favorite part. It was the most favorite and least favorite part of my job as a legislator was to assist with grants. I loved it when it meant something. I hated getting phone calls constantly going, hey, Senator, you got any money? Hey, Senator, you got any money? Well, it's also too much to resist for some people because what apparently Representative Plump, Representative Rogers, and this Vari Kendall woman did was they had an imaginary little league team they kept giving money to, and then the money would come back to them. It's pretty awful. What do we got right now? I tell you what, I've got a story that I'm gonna kick off the next segment with. Part of this home fries thing, y'all. This is disturbing. It's amazing too, because I just happened to see, if you were watching Jesse Waters last night, he interviewed a guy with his own YouTube news show called Muckraker, and this guy was out there watching these illegal immigrant kids being loaded into black vans and driven away, and he would ask them, "Where are you taking those kids? We can't talk to you, sir. Are those children illegal? We can't talk to you." "Well, where are you taking these children? We can't talk to you. Sir, they're all unaccompanied. There's no adult with them except for you. Where are you taking them? I can't talk to you right now." It was ridiculous. Well, guess what? In the last few years, almost 12,000 of those unaccompanied minor children who came across the border by themselves have landed in the state of Alabama. I got a story that'll curl your hair here in a moment. It's really disturbing, but it's part of Home Fries. And so we're going to talk about it when we get back from this break. Let's go ahead and take the break there, Big Rig. We'll take it right now. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams. Right. Oh, man, I'm telling you right now, making common sense like a superpower. All right, well, listen, we're back in on Home Fries. And this next story that I've got is right here in Alabama. A big chunk of it's up here in northeast Alabama, Marshall County. So the U.S. southern border is just a freaking mess. I mean, nobody can deny it. Even the Democrats have finally had to accede to the fact that this is actually a freaking mess. We are seeing, basically, it's as if we have no border, but we're seeing millions of people streaming across. And since Joe Biden took office, we have actually grown the population of the United States by, I want to say, 3%. Can you imagine? We added 3% to our nation. There are more people who have come across our southern border than we have in the entire state of Alabama just since Joe Biden took office. One of the most disturbing aspects of that whole thing, and yes, it's a home fry segment, I'm about to get down to the home piece of it, but one of the most disturbing aspects of that whole thing is the vast numbers of what are often referred to as just UCs, unaccompanied children. How does a 12-year-old walk the entire length of Mexico by themselves and cross the southern border with no parents or guardians or anybody there to shepherd them? Why there's not been a true expose on this yet, I don't know. But we have got literally tens of thousands a month streaming across the southern border that are minor children that have nobody with them. They came here allegedly by themselves. Oftentimes, they show up and they've got a phone number like written on their arm in marker, or a piece of paper that says, "Call this name and number." And they, the folks at Customs and Border Patrol, they call the number and the person goes, "Yes, I'm expecting them." Yes, you're expecting them? Does anybody ask the question, why in God's name did you make them walk up here if you're expecting them? Whose idea was this to have a 13-year-old little girl walk the length of Central and South America by herself with all the dangers that involves, with a phone number for someone who didn't go down and get them if it was that important? "Yes, I'm their uncle, and I will take care of them." Well, you didn't take care of them when you knew they were coming, did you? They call them ghost kids a lot of times because we don't know where they're going. So here's a story from 1819 that came out just this morning. It's on their website right now at 1819news.com. And I mean, it literally points out that when a solo minor is apprehended crossing the border, they fall into the care of what is known as the Office of Refugee Resettlement, the ORR. They got a whole section of Customs and Border Patrol now dedicated just to minor children. But what happens next, though, is where it gets a little fuzzy. So, for instance, in the state of Alabama, there's one organization called Family Services of North Alabama. The director's name is Sherry Hyatt. I'm not picking on her. I'm just saying that she's the one they interviewed for the story. She says that little to nothing is done to keep track of the location or quality of care, which increases the risk of these children being mistreated or trafficked. Family Services is in Marshall County, up in the Gunnersville area. Has one of the highest populations. Outside of Jefferson County has the most unaccompanied minors in the state of Alabama. Marshall County has next. Says whenever a child is placed in Marshall County, only 6.7% of them, 6.7%, have an actual home study done before they're placed. They're not on DHR's radar. They're not on law enforcement's radar. They get placed in these homes. They get about 4 weeks of case management. After that, they're kind of on their own with these so-called sponsor families. So the Office of Refugee Resettlement, the ORR, has placed over 700,000 minors, unaccompanied minors, in sponsors' homes since it became a thing back in 2003. Since 2014, they've placed almost 12,000. It's like 11,000, almost 11,600 migrant children in sponsor homes in Alabama. The per-year number, though, has seen a 192% increase since Biden took office. A 192% increase in the number of unaccompanied minors since Biden took office. And they are streaming in to places like Alabama. We're not on the southern border, but 12,000 of them have been located here. I'm not mad at these kids. I'm giving this story because I'm worried about where they are. Listen, they may not be ours, but they are precious children. They are still considered minors, and they are still considered to be protectable. And I cannot fathom. Now, I get it if there is a runaway. If there's a runaway situation, if you have a the kid who wants to get away from their parents or their bad situation and they run, you cannot tell me that the hundreds of thousands that have been coming over, that every single one of them is a runaway. Some of them are being given a little backpack and a pat on the head, and their parents say, call this number, and in the meantime, the cartels pay the parents a little money. Mm-hmm. Human traffickers. Mm-hmm. In 2023, they did some study on this. 76% of them were over 14 years of age, and were 61% of those were boys. And unlike traditional foster homes, it says these sponsor homes receive no federal money. And many of the families, though, claim to be related, but it's often not the case. The sheriff of Marshall County, I happen to know him, he's a good dude. His name's Phil Sims. Sheriff Phil Sims of Marshall County said he had been unaware of how prevalent this issue was in his state, much less his county, until an incident when a local school raised some red flags. He said he discovered this one guy who was a so-called uncle had seven children in the system as an uncle. Pretty sure he's not the uncle, but at least the kids were in school. Sims said he's not been able to confirm any cases of child trafficking in his county. He wants to keep it that way. In 2023, last year, Senators Britt and Tuberville signed a letter with several other lawmakers demanding that the ORR enact stricter vetting processes for these families. Listen, here's the thing. I'm telling you that story because it's right here in our state. You've had 12,000 of them, these minor children, brought in and housed in unknown conditions. We don't know who's taking care of them or why they came here like they did. And you have to look at it and go, what the heck, man? Who does that to a child? All right, we'll wrap up Home Fries when we get back. You guys stay tuned. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome back to hour number two. We're going to finish up Home Fries now, but I got to tell you, a couple things breaking on the news right now in the Trump legal world. I mean, the lawfare against President Trump, right? We have one case that is the case involving the mishandling or alleged mishandling of classified documents. That case was, I believe, scheduled to go. They had a hearing today on a motion to dismiss in that case. So Trump's attorneys have moved to dismiss that one, apparently, and they had a hearing on it today. I anticipate they will not get a ruling back on that today. Usually the judge takes it under advisement, issues an order thereafter. But I'll just say that the fact is that that thing is ongoing as we speak. And I think that what we're hearing is the judge was inclined to say it might be premature to consider a motion to dismiss, so they may just reserve it for later. Then the other case is there's a hearing on the Alvin Bragg stuff, which I believe got a continuance today. A continuance in legal parlance just means they're going to put it off to a later date. It was scheduled to start like here in the next few weeks and or maybe next week, and the judge has granted at least a 30-day stay. And I'm sure there's more discovery to be done, which is where you're asking questions, taking depositions, all that kind of stuff. So that may mean then that Trump's not going to have to go to trial right away with Alvin Bragg up in New York. And then the other one, all on the same day here, is we are expecting, like any time now, to potentially hear from the judge in the Fulton County, Georgia case to see whether or not Fannie Willis is going to maintain her status as the prosecutor for that case, or if she's going to be removed for her conduct. It's a mess, y'all. And all this happening on one day. Oh, by the way, he's running for president. I've never seen anybody have to stand up under so much. I will tell you that, in my opinion, there are very few people in this world that could have stood up under all the stuff he's standing up under. I mean, the man's obviously got the resources to pay for good attorneys. That's a win. He's got the jet to be able to fly him to all these cases all over the nation. That's a win. And he's, oh, by the way, got the personality that says, damn the torpedoes and full steam ahead. So it's going to be interesting. I'll let you know if more comes out of it. Hey, I got to tell you, back to home. Cook me up some home fries there again, Big Rig. Hit me some of that. Yeah, smell it cooking. So I'm doing a little home fries right here. I got to tell you, so the Alabama Medical Cannabis Commission, yeah, got some medicinal pot. No, they don't. They're still working. They are 3 years in, and they cannot get their act together. They passed that law in 2021. I opposed that law big time. I can oppose it just on cannabis alone, but I opposed it because that bill was every bit as bad as the gambling bill we just had. It's like everything that a Republican does not stand for was in that bill. More taxation, violations of civil liberties, growing government, allowing monopolies, government picking winners and losers. I mean, it was an awful bill. And they passed it anyway. But they now are just mired down. Mired down. They're probably wanting to chew some of their gummies right now because this thing is a mess. So legal challenges are everywhere. We've got multiple lawsuits against the commission and the commissioners themselves. The unsuccessful applicants, a bunch of companies, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, at least 6 applicants who believe they were unfairly denied their license to either be a producer or a distributor of medical cannabis. And they have all filed their lawsuits, and they are all still ongoing. And right now, we are 3 years in. And they cannot even get a license issued because they are so jacked up. And oh, yes, by the way, the lawsuits have merit. Otherwise, they would have already been dismissed. In fact, if you remember, probably a lot of folks don't remember, but if you remember, they smoked a little something, apparently, and they issued licenses, and then they immediately had to retract all those licenses and go into, you know, another executive session to reissue them again like 6 months later. It's been jacked up from day one. Okay. Speaking of jacked up, all right, Alabama House Democrats. Yes, I said that, jacked up and House Democrats all at the same time. But so Alabama Reflector is a website now that like specializes in giving you the liberal version of the news. What 1819 and Yellowhammer have become to the conservative viewpoint of Alabama News, Alabama Reflector has become just the opposite. AL.com just continues to exist as a dinosaur steeped in liberalism. But the new one on the block is Alabama Reflector, run by a guy named Brian Lyman, who was a longtime reporter for the Montgomery Advertiser. You see him all the time in Montgomery. Brian Lyman runs the Reflector, and they've got a story. It's one that I'm sure all of you are just aching to know more about. House Bill 279. Story came out 2 days ago, came out yesterday, actually. Sponsored by House Minority Leader Anthony Daniels, who's currently running for Congress. It would establish the right of individuals to use contraception and to allow healthcare providers the right to distribute contraceptives. and offer guidance on their usage. I'm just going to, have I missed something? Has there been a ban on condoms I wasn't aware of? Did something happen like you're no longer allowed to buy contraceptives or talk to your doctor and get a birth control pill? Did that happen? I didn't see that story. That's right, it hadn't happened. Anthony Daniels said in a Monday interview that laws that, quote, we clearly understood are in jeopardy in Alabama. He said he would never have thought that a frozen embryo could be considered a child, but the state Supreme Court ruling on in vitro fertilization left him wondering, what's next? So he dropped a bill to protect condoms. There's nobody out there trying to stop you from buying condoms. Nobody. Would you just play?
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you. I didn't know you had that sound effect. Where'd that come from?
I got it a couple weeks ago.
Play me one more time. Hit me some. Are you kidding me?
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you. All right. They're coming for everything. They're coming for our freedom as we know it. It's in jeopardy, said Daniels. The legislation is this cracks me up. The legislation is unlikely to come to a vote in the Republican. You think? What? Okay, they waste their time on a lot of stuff, but I'm pretty sure. Anyway, Daniels went on to say, no one in the chamber ever imagined that Roe v. Wade would be overturned, but it was overturned. And because we passed a law with one of the most restrictive abortion bans in the country, we're stuck with that. What has that got to do with contraception? Nothing. Nothing. This is the biggest posturing bill I've ever seen. A recent survey by Americans for Contraception. Oh, my God. There's a group called Americans for Contraception? Anyway, this is cracking me up. A recent survey by Americans for Contraception suggests that 80% of voters from across the political spectrum view access to birth control as being under threat. Why? Why? Have they not been to their local drugstore lately? Have the shelves gone bare? Is it like the run on toilet paper that we saw during COVID? With Alabama's near total abortion ban, access to contraception is a challenge. Why? This is ludicrous. As the state lacks policies making contraception easier, what are we supposed to do? You just go to your doctor and you say, yeah, I want some of that. And they go, okay. And then you run down to CVS and you say, I want to buy some of that. And they go, okay. And you can put it in a plain brown bag if you want to. But, you know, this is what happens when legislators need a virtue signal. Last one I got. Last one I got. Oh, my soul. You know, Charlene's going to hate the fact that I said that. She goes, don't say that. Why are you saying that?
Why does she not like you saying that?
She says it sounds like something that old people say.
I guess. I don't know.
Oh, my soul. Anyway, Yellowhammer News has a story that apparently several lawmakers from the Birmingham area, all Republicans, spoke at the Mid-Alabama Republican Club the last Saturday. They talked about gambling. What's going to happen with that? So if you remember, the gambling bill came out from the House. It was a heinous piece of I've talked about it at length. It was an awful bill. I'm not for expansion of casino gaming in the state regardless. But this thing had casino gaming expansions. It had casinos all over the entire state. It had expansion of government, growing a new commission, setting up a new police force just for gambling. It was raising taxes. It was ridiculous. It was just awful. Anyway, the Senate said no. The Senate did change it, though, and they passed a different version of it. The Senate passed one that limits it just to the Poarch Creek Indians, locks in a few people that have dog tracks and stuff like that, and then it has a lottery. It does away with sports gaming altogether. Okay. I still don't like it. But they have to send it back to the House now. So Jabbo Wagner, State Senator Jabbo Wagner, who, by the way, all three of these people that I'm about to name, they are friends of mine. I am fans of theirs. Senator Jabbo Wagner, Senator Dan Roberts, and Representative Jim Carnes, they are all good people. Jabbo Wagner says he does believe that a bill is going to pass of some type. We'll see about it. Jabbo took the stance that this is about trying to regulate illegalities, which I think the laws already do. They just don't enforce them. And then on top of that, you've got the fact that we're not making any money off it, he says. I'm like, you're not supposed to make money off it. It's illegal. State Senator Dan Roberts says he thinks that leaving sports gaming out was the best way to handle it because it's the most addictive form of gaming. And then State Representative Jim Carnes, he says he's fundamentally opposed to the bill. He voted against it the first time. He'll do everything he can to stop it the second time. So that's where gaming is right now, that and condoms. That's big doings, cooking up a batch of home fries. All right, Big Rig is cracking up over there. Take me to a break, brother. We'll take the break right now. Come right back, read a few text messages, check on a few things, and then coming up bottom of the hour, Butters and Lee. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back.